Good morning, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. Really struggling is to know quite where to start with this because it's an absolutely massive subject. The Royal Earlswood
It's a big
Hospital
one.
has a history, a very long history, and in later years, of course, was known as an institution where care in the community wasn't. People went there to be looked after. It was known originally as an asylum for idiots, which, to say, I don't think is particularly polite, but it closed the back end of the 20th century. You lived there. What was it like?
Well, to be honest, it was mind-blowing. I write books now about my experience of growing up there by living next door to the asylum. But as much as it was horrific in many ways, I also had the biggest adventure of my life there. I made some amazing friends, inmates of the asylum, idiots, some may call them, but they were good friends of mine.
Remember,
But I was
these were
also
different times. These were different times, so different expressions were used and things were explained very differently to how they are today. So some of this may sound quite offensive to some people today, but it's how things were, and it's, I'm guessing, how we got to the point of care in the community and these sorts of establishments no longer existed.
Well, yes, things changed when they became on view to the general public, but the inmates never changed. They were always, I've got some, I write about the asylum. I also write about the amazing characters from inside the asylum and the amazing abilities they had. Some of them defied gravity, others, they had memories that you couldn't believe. There were a lot of people in there with a lot of problems, but there were also a lot of people in there who had a lot of amazing abilities. And that's what I write about in my books. I don't just write royal books, but I guess we'll come to that. I write about the amazing characters in the asylum.
Well, let's
So
go
it's
back.
not
Let's
all
stop you there
bad.
for a second. Let's go back to your childhood because your mum actually worked there, didn't she?
Yes, so I was born in the old Red Hill Hospital, right next to the asylum, and I was taken home, and my house was actually next to the asylum. And then when I was 4 years old, my mother got a job at the asylum. So the life, it's kind of like a quantum entanglement, we call it. I was always going to end up a part of the asylum. So at four, I was introduced to many of the patients at the asylum. The asylum encouraged the local community to be a part of the, just a part of it, really. So we had fireworks there, summer fetes. We went to a social club there with events on. I also attended judo there at a later date. But yeah, so at four, I was introduced to many of the patients at the asylum. And at 8 years old, I discovered that some of the patients weren't people who they were meant to be. They were hidden, shall we
Yeah, I mean, it was one of
say.
those places, wasn't it, that everybody had a fear of some of the people that were there, but there were no really dangerous people in those establishments in those days. They were allowed to wander around the grounds and they had their own shop and all the rest of it. And they were cheerfully demented, I suppose, is possibly the only way to describe it. And they were in a surreal parallel world almost within the existing world. And of course, what you're about to tell me to do with our royal family, who had members of their family actually at this place, didn't they?
They did. So I, when I was 8 years old, I was actually, you know, I haven't discovered this until about the, I'm on the fourth book at the minute I'm writing, and I kind of realized how it all came up. So one of the Queen's cousins passed away, and volume, obviously, of her death arose in the asylum. And I believe that was about the time that I discovered that I was surrounded by members of the royal family, but it was a secret and they were meant to be deceased, and I wasn't allowed to tell a soul.
Really?
So that's the truth. That's how it happened. Even, I mean, I can't, the Royal Guard, I mean, I can't tell you all the secrets, but
No.
yeah, there were probably rules you wouldn't have even heard of. But I was surrounded by the members of the royal family, but they were all meant to be dead, and I couldn't tell a soul.
There was a stigma about those sorts of places, though, wasn't there? So, I mean, maybe I don't know whether it was the image of the royal family or what, but you're talking about Nerissa and Catherine Bowes Lyons, who were the nieces of the Queen Mother, weren't they? And they were also first cousins of the Queen. But they were in there for a long, long time. I mean, it was 1941 when they first went in there.
That's very true. There were also a few others as well, shall we say. But you have to read the book to find out who. So my argument is has never been why they were placed into the asylum. That's a different era, not my era. So my argument is concerning why they were left there, or why I was clothing the royal family with my pocket money each week.
That's a huge statement to make. Expand on that just a little.
Can I just do a massive, massive shout out to all the ladies of Red Hill, the fine dressed ladies that drop their unwanted clothes off at the charity shops? Because that's where I used to go with my pocket money, my mother, and buy the royal family some decent clothes. Because in the asylum, everyone had my mother used to. Do you remember being at school when we used to have those name tags sewn into the back of our jumpers?
I'm not sure. They probably still do, actually.
Yeah, well, that's what my mother used to do for the royal family and the other patients of the asylum. So with that in mind, they had a shared wardrobe and things would be ripped and clothes would be tore. I've got to say something for the book, but anyway, I used to spend my pocket money in the local charity shops of Red Hill on clothing the royal family.
Of the royal family that were actually in this place.
Yes. And it was a treat for them to look nice, to look regal. I chose the good stuff. You know, I used to comb through the rails of the local charity store and choose only the best, the finest of all items to take back to the asylum. And then my mother would dress the royal family in some nice clothes.
Well, I was going to say, without naming names, we know of two who were definitely there, and it's been well published and publicised that these two were there, Nerissa and Catherine Bowes Lyon. They were there from 1941 onwards for a very, very long time in what was actually then known as the Royal Earlswood Institution for the Mental Defectives. And how many members of the royal family do you actually remember being there? Don't name them, but how many do you actually remember being there?
If we get into the book, I actually knew some members before, I never discovered they were the members of the royal family. But ones that I knew, I mean, you have to look into the book. There's many.
Interested to know how many, because as I say, it's actually published that there were two. And saying that it's actually more than that, and there's a lot more to be told to this particular story than has actually been said.
I don't like to put numbers out there, but I'm thinking six.
Okay.
Total in there. This is why the Royal Guard is, it's a book, as much as it's a royal book, it's a book about my life. I was part of a royal conspiracy. I couldn't even have friends. So I wasn't allowed friends over at my house when I was a child, because of the royal secrets that we kept.
Who prevented you from having friends?
So my parents. I wasn't allowed, because our life was the asylum. We did everything at the asylum. We had our meals there in the canteen there regularly. We had Sunday roast dinner there. Big, giant Yorkshire puddings every Sunday at the asylum canteen.
Yeah.
I was probably the first person, maybe, possibly, to ever give the royal family a Big Mac from McDonald's. Like, I used to take my treats from the outside world into the asylum. I used to get a toy on a Saturday and take it into the asylum to show my friends.
Okay, so life growing up for you was a little bit difficult and a little bit different, I'm presuming. And you
it,
came...
Very different.
Yeah, you came through all of that, and of course the institution closed down in 1999, and we then got care in the community. If your life had revolved around that place, what happened after 1999 for you?
We're talking book 8 or 9 now, so I can't really get too deep.
No. I'm just talking a general theme because I'm looking at your life.
I followed the royal family, my royal family.
Mm-hmm.
So where they went, I went. I remained with them. So the very beginning of my life, I was born next to the asylum. Age 4, I was introduced to the members of the royal family, mm-hmm. the secret ones, and I remained with them until their dying day.
Okay.
That's what I can say.
Since then, there's obviously a big story in there, and I don't want to delve too far into it because you're going to be publishing that in a series of books. The first one, The Royal Guard, is actually available. But how did you get to the point where you think, I've got to write this lot down?
If you read The Royal Guard, you'll understand that from a very, very, very young age, I was obsessed, nicely obsessed. I mean, obsessed, I mean, it's kind of like a stalker, but I was 4 years old. So I grew up with a royalist family. So my family loved the royal family. Mm-hmm. All over our house, we've got royal plates and dishes and everything. But then having grown up with them and seeing the physical, mental and sexual abuse that was put upon them at the asylum, I kind of went against it. So I always wanted to do something about it. I always wanted to get the truth out there, to tell the real story. I mean, The Crown, Netflix, they kind of tried to tell my story, but the shoe didn't fit and they were factually incorrect. So they unintentionally made The Royal Guard a spin-off.
To Netflix, that was a piece of fiction anyway. So I think you've got to look at that and think, they've glossed over a lot of stuff, which I'm sure they probably did. I never saw any episodes of it, so I can't really comment.
So, yes, they missed out on a big part of the story. I grew up always wanting to justice or just wanting to get the truth out there. And about 10 years ago, I decided to write the book. Catherine Bowes-Lyon, the Queen's cousin, was in the community, but she was still suffering. She was followed by the paparazzi, and she was still suffering. And the royal family had nothing to do with her life. And I wanted to make it better. So I learned to write by writing The Royal Guard. I learned to write by writing book 1. But then she passed away. So I kind of put everything on halt for a while, and then I got back into it, and we decided that it was quite a story, and I've kind of got a one-off life that nobody else has had. I was contacting the dead when I was a child, without voodoo or a Ouija board. I was talking to dead people. So I learned to write by writing book 1. We decided to make it multiple books. And I'm now writing book 4 and doing notes for book 5.
Okay.
And 3 books are ready to go.
Did you actually keep any notes of any of this as it was actually going on? Or is this all stuff that was consigned to your memory?
No, this is all memory. So my mother obviously helped a little bit, but she's kind of against it. My family were a royalist, so they kind of... They didn't really help, but they let me know memories. They filled gaps and stuff. But no, the books were idea. I spent about 2 years doing a memory board. So I took a whole wall up of a. I had an outhouse with a whole giant wall, and I did color coded memories, then put them in order. And it took about a year and a half, 2 years. To get them all in order, and then the book began. So it was a color-coded wall chart. It looked like I was committing a murder kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was the planning of a bank robbery.
Are there any other books out there that address these issues? Because this is quite a big subject, really, and it's a side of the royal family that is not generally on public show. So has anything else been written about this before?
No. So the people that have attempted to tell my story, it's not my story, but the people that have attempted to tell the story that I'm telling have got it either being factually incorrect, such as the Crown Netflix, or Channel 4 did a program on the Royal Cousins once, and I watched it, and it showed how the Royal Cousins used to curtsy to members of the public and stuff like that. But again, if you were actually there, they were taught to curtsy like you would teach a dog to do tricks. They had to curtsy for their food and for their drinks.
This is all stuff we can read, you know, that can be read in the books. And
it's all in there in
this particular forum. I'm thinking that anybody could challenge any of this without too much of a problem, because most of this comes from your memory and is not actually written down. But I have to say, the book is actually out now. It's called The Royal Guard, published and available online at the usual online bookstores. The author is Ashley Thwaites. Ashley, it's been good to catch up with you today. And, good luck with the book.
Thank you,
and as I say, I would guess there's more explosive stuff to come from some of the future episodes. But for now, Ashley Thwaites, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.